So, good evening, everybody. Welcome once again to Amnesty's monthly membership call. I want to say hello again to all Amnesty members, member leaders. Welcome back to our returning callers. I see Kathleen's on and Phyllis, a lot of different new, different people. Let me extend a very special welcome this evening to any new guests who are calling in for the first time or who may be members of our coalition partner organizations this evening, which are Equal Justice USA and ACLU. I just want to say we're deeply grateful you have joined us this evening for this important and very urgent call. Now, we have a very special focus for the call this evening. As you may be aware, Arkansas hasn't had an execution in 12 years, and yet the governor has scheduled 8 executions to be carried out over a 10-day period, and that begins next week. So it's crucial that all of us as activists come together to stop this sudden rush to execution. So for our call, we have invited some coalition partners to join us as we work together to stop the death penalty. And again, for those guests who are new to us, let me explain the purpose here tonight. We intend these monthly calls to be an open space for our Amnesty members and member leaders, and that's to communicate, let them ask questions, share knowledge with other members, member leaders, and groups. We look to provide a forum for our members to share their experiences with other members. So you have joined us tonight, and Amnesty members as well, in a common goal this evening, so we welcome your participation. Now, my name is Edwin Gore. I am membership coordinator at Amnesty International. I've been on staff for many years, several decades, and I've had several roles on staff. Before that, I began in Amnesty as a volunteer in Group 9 in Manhattan, which is now Group 9 280 and still going. So I'm very pleased tonight to present an impressive and very highly qualified panel of speakers to address this important issue. Let me introduce them. We'll be joined by James Clark, Senior Campaigner for Death Penalty Abolition at AIUSA, Mona Cadena, State Campaigner at Equal Justice USA, Cassandra Stubbs, who's Director of ACLU's Capital Punishment Project, and Laura Nichterlein, State Death Penalty Abolition Coordinator at AIUSA. So thank you for being here. Once again, to all callers, we welcome your questions, we welcome your participation, and we will provide space for you to share tonight. But before we begin, I do have two requests, basic ground rules for everyone calling in. When you speak, please state your name, where you're calling from, and any role you may play in Amnesty or in your organization. And the second part is, so everyone can hear clearly and we don't have interruption, please remember to mute your phone when you're not speaking and avoid using a speakerphone. And also speak directly into the phone. That helps, too. So I think we should just get right into it. James, would you please introduce yourself, provide a little background, and then lead us into our discussion?
Sure. Thanks a lot, Ed. And thanks so much to everyone for being here to be a part of this important call. So Ed kind of gave a very brief explanation of the background, which is that Arkansas has scheduled 8 executions for a 10-day period. That happened just at the beginning of March, I think on March 2nd. Governor Asa Hutchinson announced that he has scheduled 8 executions to begin on April 17th. And to, as Ed said, they're happening in pairs. So I'm going to briefly go over the schedule of these 8 executions and just let you know how quickly they're happening one after another. So April 17th, which is this coming Monday, Bruce Ward and Don Davis are both scheduled for execution that day. April 20th, Liddell Lee and Stacey Johnson are scheduled for execution. April 24th, Jack Jones and Marcel Williams are scheduled for execution. And on April 27th, Kenneth Williams and James McGeehee are scheduled for execution. Now, Mr. McGeehee's case has actually been recommended by the parole board for clemency. And as a result of that, a judge has intervened, and there's a requirement for a 30-day consideration of Mr. McGeehee's clemency appeal. So his execution has been temporarily stayed, and the other seven are still on the books for the next couple of weeks. Now, the reason for this rapid scheduling, that's one of the most shocking parts of this whole situation, is that Arkansas uses lethal injection, like every state in the United States, to conduct the death penalty. And the drug that they use, one of the three drugs that they use for lethal injection, is midazolam. Their supply of midazolam is set to expire at the end of April, and they have exactly 8 doses left. So as a result of the expiration date of the drug, the governor scheduled all 8 of these executions to fully exhaust their supply of midazolam before the drug can expire. So I think that's a shocking and an absurd enough reason to move forward with an execution simply because of the expiration date of the drug. But even more ridiculous and outrageous to the human rights of these 8 individuals is that midazolam has already been shown to botch executions. And several states have used midazolam and have had horrific results with people dying in agony and executions taking extensive or much longer than they're intended to take. So Arkansas is rushing to utilize this drug, which shouldn't be utilized at all anyway, and they're trying to utilize every dose that they have before it expires at the end of April. Okay. Sorry, was there a question? Sorry about that.
Yes, my name's Eleanor. I'm from New York, and I was wondering, since one of the has been put on 30 days hold, which would be past the expiration date, by the logic that he's going by, shouldn't he try and scare up somebody else to take that person's place?
That's a good point and a good question. There wouldn't be enough time for that. And so there's the legal process required for the governor to announce an execution date, and there has to be sufficient time for that person to have any final legal appeals and in particular to have their application heard by the clemency board so that the clemency board can make a recommendation one way or the other about final acts of clemency. So because of this condensed period and the very little time remaining, there wouldn't be the possibility of adding any new execution dates at this point. But actually, that does bring up, you know, some of the other concerns that have been created by the situation. So, you know, I should say, of course, as we know in Amnesty, every death sentence is a violation of human rights, and we oppose every execution unconditionally. But this particular rush and this condensed time frame creates all kinds of new problems associated with the application of the death penalty. And it means that, for example, the clemency board has to hear all 8 of these clemency petitions in a condensed time frame. Some of the attorneys who are representing multiple people within the group of 8 have to divide their time between their different clients. The correction staff will have to conduct all of these executions back to back, one after another, for this 10-day period. And all of those things dramatically increase the possibility of error, possibility of a mistake, or of something going terribly wrong. So that, you know, the fact that we're at such a condensed time frame that the governor couldn't possibly add another execution, you know, actually goes to show the difficulties created by the original schedule of those 8. And one other thing that Ed mentioned is that Arkansas has not carried out an execution in the last 12 years. That's particularly relevant because it means that nobody on this correction staff has ever actually performed an execution. So simply the logistical process of carrying out the lethal injection, which we know is prone to error and does have a high rate of human error that causes botched executions, that's a procedure that these people have not carried out before. And now they're being asked to carry it out 8 times over. So again, that risk of error and risk of something going wrong is just significantly heightened. So that's kind of an overall background of what's going on and why. And the other thing I'll just say is that Amnesty has really teamed up with several organizations, both in Arkansas and around the country, to do everything we can to campaign against it and to urge the governor to halt these executions. And I know our other speakers are going to talk more about those specific ways we've done that. You know, we're working really closely with the Arkansas Coalition to Abolish the Death Penalty and with the ACLU in Arkansas, the ACLU of Arkansas. The coalition partners on this call are coming from a national perspective. So we're groups who have national resources that we really saw what was happening in Arkansas and are trying to find the best ways to mobilize our members all around the country to, and around the world to exert pressure on the governor and urge him to stop these executions. And one last thing before I pass it on, one of the ways that we're engaged in that is by trying to find points of international pressure. So that's in particular, Amnesty International has that ability to you know look around the world and say where can we find a hopeful pressure point that might be effective. And we know that the governor in Arkansas has been developing an economic relationship in Germany. So we tapped into our contacts at Amnesty Germany, and we know that the members in AI Germany are lobbying their own government to try to pressure the governor of Arkansas to stop these executions. Mm-hmm. So that's just one of the ways in which we're trying to jump in. And I'll open it up to questions before I go to the next speaker.
Question? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Two questions. One, is Peter Goldberger assisting in any way in helping to stop this?
I'm not familiar with Peter Goldberger, so I'm not sure, but maybe I don't know if any of the other speakers might know the answer to that.
Okay, and my other question is, I had thought from years ago that Amnesty International at least used to always ask members in any given country to only write about cases in other countries and never in their own because of possible political repercussions. So I was interested that Amnesty International in the United States now seems to be asking people in the U.S. to speak up about abuses in the U.S.
Yeah, that's a change that's actually been happening for quite a while, and we've been moving more towards a local focus where people are encouraged to take action in their own country. But interestingly, the death penalty has always been an exception to that rule, and throughout Amnesty's history, we've actually encouraged people within their own country to write to stop executions within their own country.
Can I add something to that? This is Phyllis.
Sure.
Yeah, there used to be something called the Work on Own Country Rule, which we've done away with, but death penalty, legislative work, and ultimately, before we moved to a full mission, did away with Work on Own Country Rule, we also added refugee work. So those were the three cases for a very, very, very long time, going back to at least the 90s, that folks could work on their own country. And the reason behind that was because the organization internationally felt that we could really have much more of an influence on our own political people, people in politics and administration, and it heard from citizens. But if it was anything other types of abuses, then the people from a particular section, let's say Peru, Amnesty, would have to ask for a waiver from the Work on Own Country Rule from the International Secretary in London in order to be able to do work on situations in their own country.
Thank you for that. That's helpful. Are there any other questions about what's going on in Arkansas or that kind of background info that I gave?
James, it's Tony McCaffrey, and I was wondering specifically what can we ask people that are not residents in Arkansas to do now?
That's a great question, Terry, and we are going to get back to that at the end of the call. But I'll just say right now we have an online action alert that's on our homepage, so you can jump on AIUSA.org and sign our petition. We'll talk a lot more about that at the end of the call, though. Thank you.
Yeah, I would just say, too, this is Ed, that the action is also included in the email invitation that you would have received.
Great. So, all right, if we don't have any more questions, then I think I'll hand it over to Laura to talk about what Amnesty has been doing on the ground in Little Rock.
Okay, great. Thanks very much, James. First, before I get started, I'll just say a couple words about myself. My name is Laura Nichterlein. I'm currently the State Death Penalty Abolition Coordinator for Washington State. I've been doing that for not quite 2 years, since July 2015. But before that, I've been a member of Amnesty for 25 years, beginning when I was in grad school at Indiana University, and I've been active in local groups in Chicago, and now in Group 4 in Seattle for the last 15 years. So. And as James was alluding to in his great introduction, the main thing that we've done on the ground in Arkansas is give hands-on support to the Arkansas Coalition to Abolish the Death Penalty. You know, it's a great organization. They've done a lot of great work. They've been around for a long time, but it's a small organization. They have one full-time staff person. So in mid-March, Abe Bonowitz, who is the State Death Penalty Abolition Coordinator for Ohio and Delaware, he went to Little Rock to meet with their executive director to assess what their needs were and figure out what we could do to help. And then during the last week of March, both Abe and I went to Little Rock to give some logistical support to the coalition as they were organizing to put on a public town hall event on March 30th. So some of the things that we did specifically, Abe did a lot of work on media outreach. For example, one of the speakers at the town hall was a man named Jerry Givens, who was the lead executioner in Virginia during the 1980s and 90s, and he personally oversaw the executions of 62 prisoners. He now speaks out against the death penalty, and his main focus is on the psychological effects that capital punishment has on corrections officers, you know, on the people who are directly responsible for administering the death penalty. So Abe arranged some interviews on Little Rock's local news stations for Mr. Givens, and he even drove him across the state for interviews with newspaper editors in other towns. He also worked with the coalition partners in Little Rock to establish a daily vigil that takes place in front of the governor's mansion from March 27th through the dates of the executions. They've been having and will continue to hold a vigil every afternoon in front of the governor's mansion. And then my role, I was there to assist the coalition's executive director with some of those kind of last-minute logistical details, trying to get people to the town hall. I made phone calls. I went downtown and handed out flyers. I canvassed people. Then I worked at the town hall itself, making sure everybody got their yard signs and their T-shirts, and I processed donations. And, you know, I also did things like attending the vigil. So the town hall, I thought, was rather successful. I mean, we got our message out. They had a great panel of speakers. The meeting room was full, lots of media coverage. The event was live streamed by one of the local TV stations. There was even a crew from the BBC there working on a documentary about the U.S. death penalty. So any questions about that?
Thank you.
All right. Sure. And then, so this coming week, Amnesty death penalty activists will be on the ground in Little Rock again. There's going to be a large rally at the State Capitol building on Friday afternoon that we will again be providing some logistical support for. Then, you know, barring any last-minute stays, the executions begin on this Monday the 17th, and Amnesty will definitely have a presence at the vigils. Scott Langley is the SDPAC for New York and Massachusetts. He's one of those people who will be there Some of you might be familiar with his work. He's a photojournalist who has spent the last couple of decades documenting vigils and activities outside prisons during executions. He has a photo exhibit that he's taken around the country and around the world. So he'll be there doing some of that work. Abe will be there again. I know James is going to Little Rock. Anyway, if you want to talk about what you're doing next week, jump right in. But yeah, that's what we've been up to down there. Just, as I said, providing a lot of kind of on-the-ground support to the coalition and the other coalition partners. I think it's really been beneficial for the state coalition, you know, to have the presence and kind of moral and logistical support of the national organizations. So again, if you have any other questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Yes. Is there hope to get more of these executions stopped, or is the hope to get the laws changed, or what are we realistically hoping to do?
This is James.
Well,
I think that we are focusing our pressure right now on the governor of Arkansas, asking him to cancel the executions. I think when it comes to grassroots advocacy, that's really our best focus, because he's the one with the authority to intervene and stop the executions from going forward. We're also going to hear in a little bit from Cassie at the ACLU, who's going to talk about the legal appeals and whether or not there are, you know, realistic opportunities for the courts to potentially step in and stop the executions. But for our purposes, for the grassroots advocacy, we're really focused on the governor.
Is there hope that the governor would stop all of them or any of them?
I would say it's unlikely. He seems to be pretty firm that he wants to go forward with the executions. But I think, you know, we always have hope, and we always move forward trying everything that we possibly can to prevent the executions from taking place. So that's where we're concentrating our efforts.
Any more questions? If not, then I'll just kick it over to our next speaker.
I have a question.
Oh.
Go ahead.
I'm a college student, and I was just wondering, even for the death penalty here in Ohio, as a college student, what's the best way you think we could get, for instance, Governor Kasich to feel the pressure of the community and saying we don't agree with the death penalty? Is there a way, should we just threaten for him not to be able to be elected back in office, or is there a way we should, like, do a protest, or what would be the best one to actually for our own campus to do that?
Yeah, that's a great question, and Laura was just talking about Abe Bonowitz, who's one of our other death penalty coordinators. He's a death penalty coordinator from Ohio. He couldn't make it onto this call tonight, but I would love to connect you with him, and then I think you'll be able to do – he's organizing a lot of things in Ohio trying to stop the death penalty there, and, you know, rather than get into those details on this call, I think it would be best to connect you with Abe, and then you and him can – think about what you might be able to do from your campus. Do you think maybe you can you probably have Ed's email from the invitation. You email Ed, and we'll be able to get that connection.
Yeah, okay. By all means.
I have a second question about I came in a little late because I just got off of work. Also, did you guys already talk about the travel ban yet?
No, this call's focused on executions that are scheduled in Arkansas.
Oh, okay. That might be another call I was thinking of then. Okay, that's fine. All right, sorry about that.
No worries. Thank you. No worries.
But I just wanted to follow up with him. This is Ed. If you do have my email, the invitation to this call, please do follow up with me, and I can make sure that you get connected with Abe so that you can continue your work and maybe spread it on your campus as well. Okay?
Okay. I definitely will do
Thank you so much. I'm glad you called and I'm glad you spoke up.
No problem. Thank you for listening.
Any other questions from anyone? Okay, so let's move forward. You know, Amnesty has been working with coalition partners, and we will move on to Mona Cadena, who's from Equal Justice. Mona?
Hi, everybody. I know a lot of you on this call as a former Amnesty staff person, so it's always nice to be in the Amnesty house. So my job is to talk today. You know, as Kathleen likes to say, you can never fully leave Amnesty. So I guess this is example exhibit XYZ on that one. So my job is to talk about working with coalition partner and partners and what we're doing. And as a staff person at Equal Justice USA, you know, I've worked on most of the major repeal campaigns in the last 7 years. And, you know, a lot of my job is to work with our national partners. And as James alluded early on in the call, having 8 executions scheduled is within a 10-day period is a shocking thing in the death penalty movement. And as you probably know from your other experiences, in an emergency, resources, being human resources and money, often come out of the woodworks a little bit, which is what happened when the executions were scheduled in Arkansas. All of these organizations who are working to end the death penalty, you know, saw this news and were like, oh my goodness, what is it that we can do to help? So my job has essentially to bring to bear the resources of the national movement, which I like to joke is really just triage. And it's, you know, making contact with all the national organizations who are interested in doing work in Arkansas and figuring out what is it that they are bringing to the table. In some cases, it's financial resources. In some cases, like Amnesty, there are humans. In some cases, it's some social media pressure, et cetera, et cetera. So there are 3 main areas that resources have been brought to bear by national organizations: legal, organizing, and media. I'm mostly going to talk about organizing media, because Cassandra will talk about the legal stuff. I just hear about it in one ear and haven't. That's not my primary area. So from the organizing side, as James said, it's unlikely that the governor will provide relief for these executions, which for some of us as organizers is kind of a freeing place to be, because what it means is that our job is to build pressure and create visibility. And so there are a couple of things that we're doing with the national organizations. One is we're doing a giant parallel petition. And so there are 4 organizations that are essentially running the same petition language. Amnesty, ACLU, Equal Justice USA, Catholic Mobilizing Network, there's a change.org petition. And all of these organizations will be able to put together and have essentially one large set of petition signers. And so part of my job has been coordinating around the parallel petition, making sure everyone's happy with the language, coming to agreement on all of those things. And then in the next couple of days, it's actually going to be just the physical work of getting all those petition signatures, doing some deduping, and then actually putting together the presentation boxes for the rally. So that's the petition is the biggest piece of the organizing side, and that is both state and national. And the whole goal of the petition, because we know that the governor is unlikely to give relief, we didn't feel so concerned that we only brought Arkansans to sign the petition. You know, we felt like this was a really great opportunity to do more national work around the death penalty because so many people are paying attention. I mean, international press are starting to descend onto Little Rock, so we know it's going to be a big story. And so I think for those of us as abolitionists, this is one opportunity to really be able to talk about the death penalty in a very clear way. The other piece that we are working on from coalition partners is a series of sign-on letters. And these are essentially letters around particular stakeholders. So for example, you know, the Constitution Project has been working and developed a letter of former corrections officials. So 23 former corrections officials signed a letter. There are a couple of faith letters that are going to come down the line in the next couple of days, some racial justice themed letters. And so part of it is just trying to get a handle on what letters are being circulated, who's circulating them, how can we help each other get particular sign-ons, and organize them both from the national and from the state side. Then the other piece around visibility is really, you know, we've called the good old-fashioned building a buzz. And that really is doing the social media work. So making sure that, you know, as articles are coming out, that we're asking our coalition partners to tweet and post on Facebook information, articles that are coming out, whether it's articles that we've placed because they're op-eds, or just, you know, regular Joe news stories that maybe we have some quotes in. And having many organizations push out our information about what's happening helps raise the profile and it helps build the buzz. So it's been really incredible to have Amnesty and ACLU in particular really lay a shoulder in on this issue, because it's really raised our profile quite a bit on the social media sphere. Let's see, on the social media. And then breaking down specific to local, as Laura mentioned, there are things happening every day here in Arkansas. There's the ongoing vigil. And then Ms. Franda, who's the director of Arkansas Coalition to Abolish the Death Penalty, I think probably does 3 or 4 speaking engagements every single day. Every time I see her, last night I saw her, she was like, I just came back from the Buddhist. And her comment was that they were very calm, which is probably exactly what she needed at that moment. And then, again, just things so that folks, particularly who are in the Little Rock area, have something to do. So the vigil, Stacey Anderson and I were down at the vigil today, and it's every single day there's a small crew of folks at the vigil, and we have seen the governor leave out the side door. Laura, were you there for one of the days that the governor left out the side door?
Well, I actually was there one of the days when we saw his wife.
Okay. All right. So, and then the other, I think the biggest piece that we have coming up is the rally. And so, you know, part of my job as working with the national organization is, you know, figuring out how do we have a rally on the ground that is supported by national organizations but lifts the profile of Arkansas and the Arkansas Coalition to Abolish the Death Penalty. And it's, you know, for those of you who've done movement work, it can be tricky to make sure that everyone has some visibility, but that not one group is taking over a rally space. James, are there other things that you'd like me to cover? Or are there other questions from others?
Yeah, I don't have anything specific. Maybe you could talk a little bit more about the plans for the rally and if you want to, but also if folks have specific questions, jump in.
I have a question.
Go ahead, please.
I was wondering, you were saying that because the governor isn't likely to respond, it frees you up. But I was wondering, does the governor have any national aspirations, you know, future presidential runs in mind or anything like that?
I mean, we've kind of pondered, that, but it doesn't seem, he doesn't seem to be impacted by that. And he doesn't seem to believe that these executions will impact either him or the state. He's very cavalier about it.
Why is he bothering them?
To execute people?
Yes.
It's an excellent question.
He's got to have some reason. If we knew what it was, then we could...
He thinks they're guilty.
I mean, his stated reason is that the drugs are going to expire. That's what he's hanging his hat on.
They've always been going to expire.
Yes. And it's the question
we
have.
About the expiration date, you know, earlier than March.
That's right. That's right.
Hello. Can I ask a question?
Of course. Go ahead.
Yeah. This is Anna. I'm calling from Wisconsin. Today I received an action item from AIUK. which is a letter directly to the governor of Kansas. So, we were able to distribute that and have individual people sign it, as many as they can. My question is this, is AR USA considering making also petitions online for individual people to sign, or your concentration is just on bigger, you know?
Well, there is an amnesty petition to sign online. I think it's in the bottom of the email to this about this call. Is that right, Ed?
I don't believe so. It just
Azam, it's there. There's a button in the email that you received.
It says take action now?
Yes, take action now. That will lead you right to the letter that you can sign.
Can we distribute this to the members, to everybody?
Of course. It's also on the website. It's on right on the homepage.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for calling. Any other questions?
Yes, I have a question.
Go ahead.
My name is Carol. I live in far northwest Illinois in a small town, but there are a few friends who believe like me. So is my best option at this point to tell them to sign this petition? And someone mentioned a letter. Is that an option that is available? And how do I direct people to get to that?
I think from out of state, the best option is to sign the petition. And if your friends are on Facebook or any other social media, talking about what's happening in Arkansas on their social media is also very important for out-of-state folks.
All right. I'm not a social media person.
That's why I was asking.
Well, we all have our limits. And,
that's true.
You know, there are a few people here who would sign a letter, but how – is there a letter and how is that available? I mean, I can tell them to press the button, take action now, et cetera, and sign the petition. But I heard mention of a letter, and I'm just wondering how can I access that and tell other people to access that without using social media. I just don't do it. Okay? I know. I'm stuck in the 1990s, right?
No worries. We all have our thing. But I think for folks who aren't on social media, the best thing for you to do is to just pick up the phone and call the governor's office.
What is the number? Is it on the website?
I think it is. I can get it to James or Ed, and I've seen it. I know Sister Helen has been posting it. Hold on. I should be able to look right now.
Well, let me just ask you.
I mean, I'm sure I could probably find it if I went to Governor of Arkansas or something like that. I could find that.
I'll get it for you before the call's over.
Sorry.
Yeah, are you ready for the governor's phone number?
Yeah, sure.
It's 501.
Uh-huh.
682.
Okay.
2345.
Okay. That's very helpful. I will contact the people here who are likely to do something about this. Okay. Thank you very much.
Sure. You could also send them a fax.
Nobody has fax machines anymore, so.
They do.
All right. Well, give it to me anyway. All right. What the hell? Okay.
One second. So, are there other questions? We'll get you the fax number. But are there other questions?
Okay.
If no one else has one, this is Phyllis, and I actually have a statement and question.
I actually have a question.
Go ahead, Phyllis.
Is that okay? I don't want to dominate. Okay.
Go for it.
Ah, okay, sorry. Somebody had asked a question a few minutes ago as to why the governor is going ahead and doing this, and to put the explanation as to why he's in a hurry is the fact that the midazolam, which is also known as Versed, used as a sedative prior to surgery, for example. But it's not unique to Arkansas. I just thought that it might be helpful that, you know, Arkansas is an outlier because the governor has decided to quickly try to do 8 killings. But midazolam actually is expiring, the supplies of them are expiring all over the country because the makers of that particular medication, quote unquote, are European countries. And when they found out that the U.S. Departments of Corrections in various states were using it for executions, they refused any longer to sell it in the U.S. So in that sense, I think it's important for anybody who's not familiar as to why this particular governor in this particular state is just in such a rush. Supplies are going to be running out, and some already have in other states, and some states are using what's also known as compounding pharmacies to make up their own myths, which is all very dangerous. So I just wanted to elaborate on that, if that's okay. A question I have for other organizations, you experts like my dear Mona. A question. Are any of the national organizations, because I haven't seen this anywhere and I've been following it pretty closely, anybody reaching out to politicians, people who formerly held office who already are known to be opposed to the death penalty or might be on the edge? For example, O'Malley from Delaware. Any politicians forward looking
for? Yeah, we've reached out to O'Malley. He's very reticent to call governors, as he said to me a couple of governor asks ago, that governors don't like to be told by other governors what to do. So he's very reticent to get in on this. Feel like there was a conversation about other politicians, but I feel like we haven't seen a whole lot of pickup on that.
Okay, I was just curious, you know.
Yeah.
They may be concentrating on Sanders, you know, whoever, or Elizabeth Warren concentrating on the quote-unquote bigger issues, you know, that the country is dealing with, but you know, a lot of the folks in these various aspects of our administration, state and federal, are opposed to the death penalty.
We do have, as part of our racial justice sign-on letter, we've got some asked out some former Obama folks. I mean, I would certainly be happy to get put as Obama to sign our racial justice letter, but I'm not sure we're going to get that far.
That's true.
But we do have some asks out. So we've got some asks out to John Lewis, who's not a former politician, but a few other folks. So yeah, that is in the mix. And I do have a fax number if someone wants a fax number.
Okay. Any final comments for Mona? Okay, let's move on. I think we want to hear about the legal appeals, so let's move on to Cassandra.
Hi. So at the beginning of the call, there was actually a really, I thought, very helpful description of kind of the clemency lawsuit that went forward last week, where relief was granted to the only person who had a recommendation from the board that clemency be granted in his case. And that particular client, Jason McGahee, he's represented by the Federal Defender's Office there. He now is under the court order entitled to receive the full 30 days that Arkansas law contemplates before the governor will issue a decision about whether to follow the board's recommendation to grant clemency. The other prisoners who are set for execution either did not seek clemency or they sought it and saw clemency denied. And so at least under the terms of the district court's order as of right now, their clemency, the their claims that this expedited schedule has interfered with their rights to seek clemency, because there's no question, everyone agrees that the procedures were curtailed. The, you know, the head of the clemency board testified that they had to cut corners somewhere, and they just had to decide where to cut it because of really this crazy schedule that the governor had set. So that litigation it wrapped last week at the district court, which is like the trial court level, with the ruling from the federal judge. And so we'll, you know, it's certainly possible that one or some of the prisoners could decide to appeal that decision. But this week they're also litigating this question about really two questions. One is about midazolam, and the other is about the impact of the pacing on their counsel, their right to counsel claims. And the midazolam claim, as some folks may have followed, the Sixth Circuit, the Federal Court of Appeals, out of an Ohio case, had ruled just last week that the use of that the plaintiffs in that case, who were death row inmates in Ohio, had shown that there was a substantial likelihood of serious risk from midazolam, such that they got an order stopping, allowing them to go ahead and litigate the problems with midazolam. And so what happened is that the Ohio prison appealed that to the appellate court, and the federal court of appeals said, yeah, we agree, there's enough evidence here. We're not going to let any executions go forward until this case is heard, and we're going to allow a full trial about midazolam, which is really good, because what we know from every state that has tried to use it is that midazolam doesn't work. It's not capable of doing what the prison needs it to do, which is to put the prisoner unconscious so they can't feel the painful drugs that everyone knows are coming next in these protocols. So from a kind of a Supreme Court litigator perspective, it's very helpful to have one court like that reach an opinion that is so related to your claims. And so, you know, it's very helpful, I think, for the Arkansas litigators who are now arguing this to the federal judge, that they have a circuit opinion, a higher court opinion that is useful, saying these are claims that really require a hearing, which could not happen on this expedited schedule. It could not happen in order to allow these executions to go forward. So, and that hearing has been going on for the past couple of days. And certainly if they won a preliminary injunction in that case, like that's kind of like a temporary stop order, you know, that could really mean significant relief for all eight of them.
Question?
Yeah.
Two questions. One, you mentioned that some of them are asking for clemency and some are not. Are there any of these people who wish to be executed, get the torture over with?
So I don't represent any of the eight, and so I can't really authoritatively speak about that. But what I can tell you from what I've seen in the papers that have been filed, for example, one of the clients is so seriously mentally ill that he is deeply distrustful of his lawyers. He also does not understand that he's about to be executed. So he doesn't want to seek clemency because he doesn't think he needs it.
Okay, that's a different matter.
Yeah, this is not, that's, that it's not the case of, I agree, it's not someone saying, it's not the same as someone saying, I'm tired of this life, you know, I want, that particular client, his name is Bruce Ward.
My other question.
And he has schizophrenia.
My other question is, since it's been shown in lots of other cases that there have been botched executions with this drug,
mm-hmm.
which apparently the governor is ignoring, is there a chance, if one of these executions should be botched, would that help to stop the rest of them?
You kind of think it would. I mean, to me, this reminds me a lot of that question about, you know, what could the governor be thinking? Why would he want to do this? This is the piece that is most mystifying to me. I mean, why did he want to sign up for 8 executions when the only state that tried that tried one of these doubleheaders was literally next door over there in Oklahoma, and it was a disaster. You know, they called off the second execution, and they had this huge investigation, and they found that one of the reasons why it went so badly was because they scheduled them back to back, that it, you know, really stresses out the correction staff. They, you know, they're very, very nervous. They're more, and they made mistakes. And so you have a drug that doesn't work, and then you have staff who are really stressed out and prone to make mistakes. It's so hard to see how you could get through these 8 without a botch. And I, you know, Governor Hutchinson may have said that he doesn't think anybody's paying any attention, but I don't know how long he can maintain that given the, you know, the really ratcheting up of international pressure and attention. And the whole world is going to be watching when these executions happen. I really do think that if there's a botch, there will be no option but to stop these. There any other questions?
Hi, this is Sarah Brown. I just called in like 10 minutes ago due to time change different. I thought it was 6 o'clock our time. So I kind of missed quite a bit. I apologize.
Well, that's okay. We're glad you called anyway, and it will be recorded and kept, so you can access it. Do you have a question?
Oh, thank you.
Did you have a question?
That was my question. You answered that it will be recorded. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks for joining us anyway.
No problem.
Any other questions for any of our speakers so far? Going once? Okay. So let's move on. James, you can wrap us up here.
Sure. Thanks, Ed. And thanks so much to all the speakers. That was really great. I learned more things about it, about what's going on. So I hope you all learned a lot about what's happening too. So we've talked a lot about this petition that is on our website. It's on our homepage, and it's also in the email that you all received. So in your email invitation to this call, there's a button at the bottom that says take action now. And, you know, several of you have asked how you can get involved and how you can make an impact. And really this online petition is going to be the best possible way. Mona gave out a phone number, so if you took down that phone number, you know, you can also look it up yourself, and calling the governor is going to be great. You're going to get your voice heard by the governor's office. But really this online petition, you know, like Mona explained, it's a collaboration between all of our groups, the ACLU, Equal Justice USA, Amnesty, and even some other groups like the Catholic Mobilizing Network. And so we're hoping that it's going to be a really large number of signatures. We're all able to put our members together and really speak with one loud voice to the governor. And Mona and I and a bunch of other folks are going to be there on Friday to take these, print out all of your names and put them into boxes and take them over to the governor's office personally so he can see how many folks are really demanding for this to stop. And so we can shine a spotlight on that and make sure that the media shows so people around the world can, who, as Kathy said, the whole world is watching. We want to make sure everyone around the world sees what a loud voice we're speaking with and the real grassroots numbers that we have behind us when we call on the governor to put a stop to this. So please do jump online, click on that petition, and like Mona said, sharing it on social media is another huge help that you can provide. That means sharing that petition, but also sharing what you've learned. Go on your Facebook and on your Twitter tonight and let your friends know that you learned about this shocking assembly line of executions that's happening next week, and you want to get involved, and you want your friends to get involved. And that, you know, Mona said, we want to light a buzz around this this crisis and make sure that people know what's happening, so we can shine a spotlight on it as the world is watching. So that's okay. Really the best way to take action.
Can I ask you a question? I
sure,
take an
please.
Action, as you said it, but after I do, it just says thank you. I do not see any place that you can share in the Facebook.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. You might just want to go back to the original action page and copy the link. Or I think on the original action page, maybe not on the thank you, but on the original action page, there hopefully should be a Facebook button or a Twitter button.
No, there isn't.
Well, I'm sorry about that. You might have to just click on the address bar and copy it, and then you can paste it right into Facebook. But, you know, we definitely appreciate you taking action, and signing the petition means that we've got your name, and so your name's going to be printed out with everyone else's, and we'll be delivering it to the governor's office.
Well, that's not the issue. You want to be just to have more people signing it. I just said that AI UK easily made one that you could just put it on the Facebook and many, many people can, you know, sign it. But the way this is set up is not yield itself to that. So I don't care if you have only one of my signature. I meant the way it is set up is not proper.
Hi, this is Pasadena. I was just on that petition, and in fact, I did see the Facebook and Twitter buttons, and I did post it to my Amnesty Group's Facebook page.
Okay, is this the one that Edwin sent us, and at the bottom of it, it says take action now? Are you referring to that?
It was on the website, I believe.
Yeah, you know, this is Laura. I just clicked on the button and went through and signed the petition, and I did go to the page where it says share this action, tweet this action. So it did work for me.
Right.
Okay.
And another suggestion I was going to have, I heard people saying that they're not on social media, but if you want, you can just copy and paste the link in an email to your friends and send it out to your friends that you may have who are not on social media but who you do have email connection with.
Right. Azam, I just sent the link to you, so you can share that.
Okay, I just saw your email. I just received your email. Thank you, Edwin.
Sure. Any other final questions?
Yes, one.
Go ahead.
Could you send a link to what I should share to me as well? Because I don't know whether I can find the original email that I got the notice about the call about easily.
I'd be glad to. I don't know if you want to give your email or do you want to
sure.
contact me?
My email is eefwww@yahoo.com.
Okay, I'll send it to you right now.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm so glad you joined us. There you go. Any other final questions? Go ahead.
This is Kathleen. I just was wondering if those who are on social media, if you could just say the names of the hashtags that you're using so that folks will have them in case they haven't been following the conversation.
That's a great
Thanks,
idea, Kathleen. Thank you. We're using the hashtag on Twitter 8 and 10, and those are with numerals, with the numbers 8, IN, 10. Hashtag 8 and 10, and then, of course, hashtag death penalty.
And then, James, the email that Amnesty is tweeting, not the email, the Twitter, maybe just the Twitter handles as well, if you could just share those.
Sure. Amnesty's Twitter handle is Amnesty USA. Is that what you're looking for, Kathleen?
Yeah, no, I have it. I just didn't know if other people would necessarily know that if they were new to the Twitter world.
Yeah, absolutely. Follow, please, if you're on Twitter, you should definitely be following Amnesty at Amnesty USA, and you'll be able to get this action there, absolutely.
Why is it still being called 8 in 10 when for a while it's been only 7?
So that's a good question. Oh, go ahead, please.
We actually talked about this as a possibility that the numbers might fall, but we felt like it was very important to continue to show what the state of Arkansas is trying to do. But at the end of the day, the governor of Arkansas will always have scheduled 8 executions. And so it was a tactical decision because we liked 8 and 10, and we felt like it would be good to stay consistent.
Great. Other comments? Final questions? From anyone? Okay, so I just wanted to finish by saying anyone who's on the call and, for example, our friend, the student from Ohio, if you need further information, you could contact me directly. If you have the email invitation, you can respond that way. My email is egur@aiusa.org. That's egur@aiusa.org. I'd be happy to help you with any of these to connect you. The student in Ohio, I'd be happy to connect you with the State Death Penalty Action Coordinator in Ohio. So to conclude here, I really want to thank our distinguished speakers and some very special guest partners this evening. We're so grateful that you made yourselves available this evening to share your knowledge. James Clark, Monica Dana, Cassandra Stubbs, and Laura Nichterline. Thanks also to all of you who called in, and especially those who shared questions, comments. We're very grateful for that. So remember that all of the monthly calls are recorded, and they will be listed in the Activist Resource Community, ARC, which is on our website. If you go to the homepage, right at the top of the page, you can, if you don't have an access link, you can sign up for that. I just ask you to please join us again next month for our monthly call, and thanks for joining us. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.